This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. John, welcome back.
A pleasure to be back here just as we head into the Christmas season and mercifully Congress will recess.
Well, we'll see how long it recesses for, though. A lot of huge topics still going on Capitol Hill and beyond. But let's start there, the Senate health care debate. Democrats feverishly trying to get to an up or down vote on their own version of health care reform by the time that everyone goes home for Christmas. Will they get there?
No. Even though the White House has made it clear last week it wants a vote before the adjournment for Christmas, and there's even talk by Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid of a Christmas Eve session of the Senate, I doubt it will come through that way. Remember, all 40 Republicans are united against this, and it seems as though we have Democrat du jour in terms of questioning the package. One day it's Joe Lieberman. He went to the White House on Tuesday, the same day the president had other senators there, and made it clear he was optimistic now about the package. Now it's Senator Jim Webb of Virginia, who voted against some key procedural measures yesterday. With all of this, it is very unlikely that a package will come out, and members do not like to be held in session during the holiday season. I remember when Jesse Helms held them in, and people were calling the North Carolina senator the Grinch who stole Christmas. He did stop an increase in the gasoline tax, however. All told, no matter how much the White House huffs and puffs, they are not going to get a health care package in the president's stocking.
John, what do you make of the opposition now to the bill from the left side, from the likes of Howard Dean, some folks on MSNBC, Roland Burris, and others, Congressman
Sanders.
Anthony Weiner, Bernie Sanders. Right. Obviously, these folks don't like the fact that the bill is being changed to accommodate some of the moderates, but will they actually vote against cloture when the money's on the table?
Well, I noticed this, that according to an Ipsos poll, 12% of those who say they are opposed to the package say so because it doesn't go far enough. And certainly that's what Howard Dean was saying when he said start all over again. Now, there is a mentality, and I'm finding it at the White House, that says we have come this far. Why should we start over? On the other hand, people who worked for years to get national health insurance, and that's what it really boils down to, be they Howard Dean, Bernie Sanders, Anthony Weiner of New York, are just simply not going to settle for what they consider an ersatz version of it. Better a good bill than a flawed bill, and certainly no bill at all is better than a flawed bill, according to Dr. Dean. My guess is that's a significant part of the Democratic Party, and they will do a lot to undercut passage of the final bill. I'll say this, the White House sure doesn't like Howard Dean right now.
Last 15 seconds on this question, John. You said it wouldn't happen by Christmas. Will it happen at all?
No, because when the senators go home for Christmas, they're going to be holding town meetings, and you know how that goes. And on the other hand, the House then has to come up with a version that reconciles itself to the Senate version. The House version has public option. The Senate does not. That's a pretty big chasm to overcome.
John, another thing that happened this week is House Democrats agreed to raise the debt ceiling by nearly $300 billion. And it's interesting, at that very same time, over in Copenhagen, Denmark on Thursday, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton pledging the U.S. to help put together a $100 billion fund to help underdeveloped countries combat climate change. As you watch the developments at this climate change conference over the past couple of weeks, it seems for the most part that this thing is floundering. What do you make of that and the fact that the Obama administration is offering this money?
Well, it doesn't surprise me, and they can offer all the money they want. But as Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, the ranking Republican on the Senate Environment Committee, said when he arrived in Copenhagen, the terms of what they are talking about in terms of a climate change proposal do not meet the standards set in the Byrd-Hagel resolution, which was passed years ago when the Kyoto Treaty came up, which said that the Senate should not consider a treaty that harms the U.S. economically and allows developing nations not to participate. Now, again, the administration is obviously aware of this because they're offering some enticement to India and to China and to other developing nations as well. And it very simply is not going to meet the standards set down in this resolution in the Senate. My guess is that Copenhagen will not come through with any solid document, and it will end under very auspicious circumstances.
John, let's move to another issue. This one related to national security. It was announced this week by the Obama administration that some of the Guantanamo detainees will, in fact, be coming into the United States, and a lot of them will be housed at a federal facility in Thompson, Illinois, northwestern Illinois. You were at the White House, had a chance to talk to some of the folks involved in that decision.
Oh, yes, and the Illinois Democrats are all for it. And Governor Pat Quinn, when I raised criticisms about Gitmo detainees being in the United States that were raised by former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, he said, "I think he's wrong." That's it. Dick Durbin talked about the opportunity for jobs in the Prairie State and how the community is looking forward to having the prisoners there in this safe facility. No one has ever escaped from it, he said. And Robert Gibbs pointed out that Al-Qaeda has used Guantanamo as a way to recruit members simply by showing it and explaining the detention that's there. I don't see how just moving them to the shore but keeping the same policies of detaining prisoners is going to hurt recruitment in any way to the terrorist organization. I also would say that Governor Quinn, who's up for re-election, Senator Roland Burris, who's giving up his seat, they're whistling past the graveyard if they think this will sell with voters.
John, another week, another chance to talk about some Democratic congressional retirements. This time, Bart Gordon, longtime congressman from Tennessee in an increasingly conservative district in the Murfreesboro area of Tennessee, and also a longtime Hawaii Democratic congressman Neil Abercrombie, will actually be resigning in the weeks to come as a result of his efforts to focus on his race for governor of the Aloha State. Again, a trend or still too soon to tell?
Well, I think it is a trend, and I think the fact that the Washington Post devoted a big page 3 story to this on Tuesday shows that Democrats are concerned about the exodus. If many Democrats leave the House en masse, it will be within December and January, because that's when the time is good to meet filing deadlines and groom good successor candidates. I might add that the district Bart Gordon is giving up, the Murfreesboro district, as you put it, was held by Al Gore before he went to the Senate, and by his father, Al Gore Sr., from 1938 until he became a senator in 1952. It has a long Democratic history. Now Republicans are favored to pick it up, and they have a hotly contested primary. Democrats are searching for a contender to run. A few more races like that will cause some sleepless nights at the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee.
John, last 60 seconds. We've talked about important stories, but by far the most important story of the week, Monday night you went to the White House Christmas party. Tell us all about it.
It was wonderful. And no matter who is president, the whole idea of being with my colleagues and good friends at the White House, as well as administration officials, is just moving to me every year. This year I took my brother-in-law, who is 6'7" and weighs 360 pounds. He was the only person the president and the first lady looked up to when we posed for pictures. And President Obama was gracious as ever, introducing us to his wife, and happy to learn that my brother-in-law's son, my nephew, was as big a Spider-Man fan as he was. All in all, it was a great time, and by the way, Robert Gibbs couldn't have been nicer. I like him more when he's off the podium and having a drink.
Well, John, we'll talk again next week as we get closer to Christmas. And then, of course, we'll wrap up the year in politics as we get ready for 2010. Thanks so much, as always, for your time, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And as I bid farewell for the year to Barack Obama and Robert Gibbs and welcome in St. Nicholas, I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.